You are listening to the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. This is a ministry of Christian Assembly Church in Los Angeles, California. I am your host, Marvin Enriquez, and this is how we get down. Well, welcome back to another exciting edition of the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. We are live via Zoom. And as we are live via Zoom, George is calling me. I don't know why you're calling me, George.
I want to see if it would stop it.
No, I'm on my computer. It doesn't stop my computer. It only stops my phone. Welcome, guys, to a fun, exciting edition of the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. We're laughing because, man, there's nothing else we can do, you guys. Every time we watch the news.
No, we're laughing because Robert and I took our shirts off.
There's always that. One of these days, we're going to make this a visual podcast so the guys can see what you guys look like without pants and without shirts.
Whoa.
What I have to deal with. I'm the professional here trying to keep this show afloat.
Yes. While professional, you guys look like an 18-year-old gangster with your cap backwards.
Hey, I'm working from home, man. Guys, thank you so much for joining us at the round table or the virtual round table.
Griffey.
Yeah, I'm Ken Griffey Jr. Today is April 2nd, 2020, April Fools.
No. It was yesterday, Wibone.
It was yesterday. Well, around the round table, we have Hot Flash Fernandez.
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, George, You were just telling Robert and I about the challenge it is to have to move all your cars out of the driveway.
Just stop. It's Hot Wheels. There were little Hot Wheels.
About that. I mean, You know, it's hard to keep them all warmed up and engine revving all the time. And
does Mo drive your cars for you, or do you have someone else just to drive your cars?
I told them no Mo driving.
No Mo driving.
Right. Whenever Mo comes around and serves you your latte this morning, make sure that he sends some our way as well. Also around the virtual roundtable is Robert Concepcion. Robert is in his man cave right now. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, guys.
Robert.
Philippines and Burbank.
Is that like a private casita behind your house where you get away from the kids? Where are you at right now?
It is. It's like a little, like you said, a little man cave, wine.
It's a little love shack. That's what it is.
But there's nobody there with him.
What is it?
Well, we only see from there, Mike.
Just a little refuge I go to, and I just need time off from the boys. So, yeah, it's great to have it.
But how come every time I call you, you're there?
See my bed, you know, in the back here?
Random calls at different times of the day.
he's always there. I'll tell you guys something funny. We had our staff meeting on Monday morning, our community life pastor staff meeting, Monday morning at 10. And I don't know if you knew this, Robert, but I think you forgot to turn off your camera. And you got up out of the screen and your camera flipped down, but it was pointed at your crotch the whole time. And for like 30 seconds, all we had was like Robert Concepcion crotch shot. That's all we got.
You're lying.
I promise you.
If there was Fortin Wood.
Ralph was trying his best to be professional, and that man is professional. He did not break character for a second. Yeah. He kept on talking about whatever it is he was talking about, but the rest of us were laughing.
Why didn't you say anything?
I tried, but I was muted. Ralph had us all muted, and I think Robert thought his camera was off, but it was pointed down at his pants the whole time. I'm like, what are you doing, Robert?
You know what? You know what? You should do that because next time, because you know how Ralph is, you know, straight arrow. Is you should have everyone pointed down towards, you know, his crotch, and he's going to mute it anyway. And just, yeah, no one responds. Just keep talking as the thing's pointed down.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to show up in a tank top in my trucker's hat, with a cigarette.
And sunglasses
and pretend like I'm a hacker into the
in a tank top
and have like low lighting and just pretend like I'm a hacker. I'm like, hey guys, I'm the creeper.
And coffee.
Let me share my screen and I'll show you something.
Yeah, come here, I got candy for all of you.
You know that's a thing that people are hacking off,
Marv, especially your eyebrows not being shaved like that.
Oh my gosh, I'm in trouble, man. Do you know that that's a thing that people are hacking into Zoom rooms and then sharing their screens and then sharing explicit, you know, images, you know, with things like that. So those of you guys that are using, you know, these, you know, video conferencing things like Zoom and others, be careful when you post your link. If you make it, you know, if you post it in the public space like Facebook or something, make sure that that you know who's coming into the room and that you have some security restrictions on that, because people are hacking into those rooms, man. I thought we had a hacker last night in our huddle group. Turns out it was one of the huddle guys, and he was really comfortable.
Yeah, eerily comfortable.
Eerily comfortable.
The good thing you screened to invite to your huddle, Marv.
Well, you know, we're George and I, we're men of the people. It's not for the elite. You know, we invite.
Yeah, it's for the common man.
It's for the common man. Our huddle is open to any. In fact, guys, if you're listening to this right now and you want to join a huddle, it doesn't matter where you're from. God takes you as you are. You know, if Robert and Ralph, they have different standards, but not us. We take the common man into our
You can huddle. Be in your basement smoking cigarettes.
Hey, listen, bro. And we're God's going to reach that guy. He's smoking
That's right.
cigarettes in his basement.
We're on mission.
We're on mission.
He's going to reach him just like you kicked him out of the Zoom meeting, right?
I did boot him out of the Zoom meeting because I thought he was a hacker.
There you go. Let God deal with him on his own time.
Hey, guys, as always, feel free to send us any thoughts, questions, feedback on the show to men@dachurch.com. We do this for you guys. We're men of the people. And so we'd love to hear you guys. In fact, we ran a promotion at our last show inviting guys to screenshot their subscription and then send it in. So if you've done that, we're getting swag packages to all of you guys that it's going to include a really cool long sleeve men's retreat t-shirt. All of a sudden we have a surplus of men's retreat t-shirts. So there's that. But we're also including a toiletry kit and some other goodies. So if you're a new subscriber,
does it have toilet paper?
It's going to have a roll of toilet paper and Lysol wipes in it. So there you go. That alone right there is worth $100 on the black market.
Yeah, black market.
What's happening? Listen, what's happening in your worlds, guys? What's going on? You guys have full houses, I know. And how are you managing those full houses?
Hey, wake up there, man cave.
Yeah, let's go, man cave. He's texting.
No, I was just looking at a flash news that said that Homeland Security is deploying National Guards.
Yeah, they're
carrying them across the U.S. along with the military.
Right.
Yeah, that's
they've been doing that. They've been doing that, right?
Yeah.
In different parts.
Okay, making sure that everyone is just shelter in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jarrell.
You know the images that one of the most just crazy images to me was a few days ago. I saw Central Park with field hospitals. Like Central Park in New York. Like I've walked through that park, you know, you enjoy when you visit New York and field hospitals set up and it's just.
Well, I think they're preparing. I thought they were going to try to do something at the convention center as well.
They are. The convention center is being used as housing. They've got a place over, I think in Duckweiler Beach where they have RVs set up for to isolate homeless individuals that can't be in shelters. The place I used to work at, Union Rescue Mission, we pray for this, has a guy, one of our old coworkers is in critical condition in the ICU at the moment. Mm. And they have at least one confirmed case amongst the residents. And that's, to me, that's a big fear because, you talk about not being able to quarantine. Well, if you're homeless, what do you do? Right. You're living in a shelter with 1,000 other people.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm concerned for my coworkers. I've been texting friends out there and they're trying to do their best to be on those front lines and continue serving folks on Skid Row. But in your homes, what's going on, Robert, George? How are you guys managing and coping in your homes?
Yeah, for me, I'm just, it's a day-to-day thing. I don't know. I'm just trying to put a routine together, but it just seems to, I'm not getting there. The routine or putting something on a regular schedule is something that I'm having trouble with because everything just changes every day. I mean, I used to be able to just say, okay, well, let's just walk in the park or freely get gas or groceries or not even stock up on anything because whatever we need, we can just go down the street. But as I'm listening to the news, now they're even asking people to wear masks. To just do essential things.
Yeah.
You guys heard about that, right?
We did.
And so, just wearing masks out there, I don't know. It just puts a different spin to everything. So, you know, yeah, managing a full house is tough for me right now because, things are in flux all the time. So we're getting there.
Yeah. Who do you have in your house? I mean, just your boys and your wife and that's it?
No, I've got my mom living with us. She's elderly and she's one of the vulnerable. Also, just like I am because I've gone through a kidney transplant. So, yeah, those are the kind of things that we really need to be extra careful about, who we let inside the house and how we get our exercise and just, extra precaution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. How about you, Georgie? You got staff and things, but what else are you guys doing over there?
You got a ventilator on standby, George.
He's got a direct line to Donald Trump. I think he can get whatever supplies he needs.
No, we just allow, you know, we allow the household employees to do their thing. And no. it is an adjustment. We're just trying to, you know, just keep a kind of a routine just so it's as natural as possible, especially for, you know, for Kanan. So we just try to, you know, start the morning like usually, you know, it usually is breakfast. And then we just, okay, school starts just like when you were at school. So we try to start at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and he's got his assignments to do. And Lisa helps him with that and spends a lot of time with him. And then I help him when I can, but she's much better at that than I am for sure. And then she's got her work to do. So it makes it difficult.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because, you know, the park at the end of our street, they closed it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, it's a park, so it's open. So it's not like, you know, I can still walk to it because it's an open area, but the parking structure where cars park is closed, and the other side of the park has a gate because it's a cul-de-sac on the street behind us, and they lock that because they're really trying to keep people out. So, but it's, you know, I'm looking out my window right now. People I've never seen before just from our neighborhood are, you know, they're still walking. It's the weird thing is seeing people like in the middle of the street. Like, yeah. I see people now.
Because they don't want to walk next to each other on the sidewalk.
Yes, they walk in the middle of the street, or they ride their bike or scooter, you know, whatever they're doing. They're literally in the middle of the street because, you know, there isn't any traffic. We're very blessed that, you know, we have a gym here in like our garage. That's where we have our stuff. So we're still able to, you know, do what we always did and keep that routine. But yesterday was the first time that Lisa wore a mask. She went to the grocery store. As like you said, Roberts, yeah, just it's like a higher level of heightened, you know, security or just caution now. Because every week you keep hearing a little bit more, and it's, you know, it's just a little bit scared. I personally think that it's just going to be, I think as president said, I think it's just going to be really, really tough for the next couple weeks. Next mm-hmm. few weeks, mm-hmm. and the numbers are going to be scary.
Mm-hmm.
I hope is people don't panic, because I think the numbers itself will be scary, but I think it's not, you know, I think it's not because more people have it. I just think because there's more testing, so more people are aware of it, right? So you'll hear these numbers like, oh my gosh, how many people are infected? And it is awful, and there's going to be a lot of deaths, but, you know. I always try to look at the bright side because it take it as a whole. So yes, there are going to be deaths of this and you don't even want to see one. And that's awful. However, if there's going to be less deaths on the road because less people are driving, which a lot of people, you never think about it, right? You don't think of how many, I don't even know how many deaths there are annually, but there has to be tens of thousands. Well, if that's cut back by a huge amount, then okay.
Although, I mean, you know, the few times that I've had to go out, I do see people are driving a little more recklessly, a little faster. I think I've seen an accident just about every time I've gone out on the freeways. So I think people find the open roads as an opportunity to really let go a little bit. And I think we need to be careful about that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But it's there is no traffic.
No.
But George, just to camp on what you're saying, I mean, people not panicking. I mean, what does it look like to panic, though? There's nothing much you can do anyway. So just be calm and just, you know.
You're right. And that's rational thinking. But you have people that sometimes act irrationally. And I think, you know, when you had said, you know, maybe with the National Guard, when when people that don't have start getting really like very, very panicked, you do things out of character and out of the ordinary. And if someone feels like they don't have and they feel like they have no hope, then, you know, who knows what they're capable of doing. So I think that's one of the things that they're trying to do is not create a panic where everyone feels it's like every man for themselves and they have to do whatever they have to do.
But, you know, and for me, it hits me in waves. There's moments where I feel like, okay, Lord, you're in control. I'm here. I'm doing my work. I got my family around me. And there's moments where the waves of fear, that little bit of panic does sneak in. And you think about, do I have enough? Is what's going to happen? What happens if I get sick? What happens if my parents get sick? What happens if one of my kids, you know, like those are all things that hit me in waves. And you know, you bring those fears and you bring them back to God's word and you submit them and you remind yourself, you know, I'm on a constant loop of worship music in my home because I want to keep my thoughts and my heart centered around worship. But I couldn't tell you. I mean, you know, even the 30 minutes that I allow myself to watch the evening news, I get up at 6:30 after watching that and I feel so depressed and fearful. Yeah. And it's like, okay, I need to go watch something funny right now. I need to go do something different, you know?
Yeah,
you know, which is why Mark's message last night was so timely about worship, right? Just take focus out of yourself. And it just, when you start worshiping, it shrinks your worries and it just puts your mind in a different place.
Hey, speaking of worship, I think we have an opportunity as men, and Robert, you brought it up as far as how we lead our homes, but I think we have an opportunity as men this next week over the Easter celebrations, because obviously they're going to be different. You know, we're not going to do the things that we typically do on Easter Sunday, Good Friday services, etc., because we're not gathering, we're not going to church, and you're not going to go to brunch, and you're not going to do all the things that you do on Easter Sunday, but you're not going to do the Easter egg hunts in the park or whatever it is that you're doing. But how can we as men lead our families in the reminder of the death and resurrection of our Lord, I think will be critical and a critical opportunity for us as men. So guys, if you're listening to this, think ahead, plan ahead how you are going to bring your family into a space of worship next weekend or even throughout the week as we move into Holy Week this week, and how you can make those significant moments in the spiritual development of your kids and of your own life. Obviously, we'll have our online content and our worship services, and Kids Church will put some stuff out that you can use. Don't just rely on that, right? Don't just rely on what the church is giving us. But as men, we can now take ownership of that space and make these Easter celebrations a spiritually significant moment in our lives.
Yeah, I agree, Marvin. I think as men who lead households, I think this is a chance for us to step up and pastor our family. What we do, we take communion more often now. I lead them in that, not because I'm a pastor, but because even before I got on staff, we make it a habit. We don't wait once a month. Well, you know, it's great to take it with the church, but in our own household, we take it at least every week. But now it's been more often than that. Just having the communion and just
now, to be clear, Robert, we're not talking about you opening a bottle of wine every day.
No. It's with the kids. So,
the kids opening a bottle of wine every day. Okay. When the kids are drinking, we're in trouble, man.
No wine involved. Just making sure they understand. This is, keep our mind on that, the most important thing that we can be thankful for.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I realize the tone of this show is different than past shows, but I think it just reflects on the reality of where we're at. And one thing I want to say before we move on is, and George and I, you and I talked about this yesterday, I think with our huddle group, but we just want to applaud all of the frontline heroes, the healthcare workers that are daily getting up, dressing, putting on whatever protective gear they have, hopefully have, suiting up and going and serving those that are sick, and then coming home and having to go through the routine of disinfecting whatever it is that they're doing, and then trying to be with their families, always living with the fear of, you know, what happens if I, God forbid, bring the virus home to my household. So I just want to applaud our heroes, our frontline doctors, nurses, all those people that are in the healthcare industry that are daily going on doing that. And I think that includes your wife, Robert, but just so many others as well.
Yeah, amen to that. There was, remember yesterday, one of the, Tom at our, in our huddle mentioned, and I had heard this, I think the day before Lisa had mentioned to me, I think there was just these small, simple things that people come up with, and they're literally ingenious, almost in their simplicity. And I think someone started a GoFundMe campaign where they were, accepting donations in this GoFundMe account to go to this restaurant or restaurants and buy a bunch of food and have it delivered to a hospital to give food to the nurses, the doctors who are just working long hours and doing all they can to, treat patients. And if you think of it, its beauty and the simplicity is no one comes up with this, but you're helping a restaurant, right? That could be in probably most likely most restaurants are really suffering right now. They don't have revenue and sales and all that. So you're helping them, and then you're taking that and then helping the, those in the healthcare that are, they probably don't have even time to eat or places to go and this and that. So it's just really, just impactful to hear something like that. And just a thought that the church can't always come up with the solutions. We can do things. There are a lot of things that we can do. We're the body of Christ, but a lot of times it just takes an individual to step up and do things that Christ would ask you to do and not do it in the context of the church. Just take it upon yourself.
Well, if you think about it, it is the church, right? Because the church is all of us, individually and collectively.
But I mean, yeah, not the institution of,
Yeah, I hear you. I know what you're saying.
Hey, let me look at, let me call CA and see, can they do that? Can they set this up? Well, just you do it, you know?
That's a great idea. And there's all kinds of simple, tangible, and practical ways that we can serve others, whether it's looking out for the small businesses around us, whether it's, applauding and thanking healthcare workers, or even, when I go to the grocery store, I thank them. They're keeping us stocked, and that's an important part of our the world that we live in. And so I thank those people that are checking me out at the grocery store.
Checking you out?
The girl that there, she always checks me out. Yeah.
So Mark, it's been a couple of weeks since you got a haircut.
It's been a while. My hair, what are we gonna do with my haircut, guys? What am I gonna do about my eyebrows? My Armenian lady is no longer offering haircuts.
I want to see the ponytail. You have a ponytail up top. That's what's going to happen.
Okay, the problem is when I start giving myself a home cut, I might look like Robert.
That's all right, man. Bo had his, COVID-19 look.
COVID-19 cut.
I saw that. Go. I'm not trying to get a COVID-19 cut. I'm trying to get an Armenian haircut. Yeah,
that's what you get, $12, right?
$12 and includes the eyebrows. You can't beat it, man.
There you go, man.
Hey, listen, we're going to save the financial report for the end because we actually want to spend the bulk of our time talking about the economic impact that this is having on all of us. But before we get there, we had an interesting conversation, George and I, yesterday about sports and talking about the NBA and if and when we ever get to a point of thinking about resuming play, how would they do that? Would they just jump right into the playoffs? And George, you were saying that it would be unfair to those teams that were thinking or thinking they had a shot still at sneaking into a playoff run, because obviously they would be automatically eliminated, especially those that maybe had the easier part of their schedule.
Yeah, because when the schedule is made at the beginning of the year, obviously the teams are aware of it and they they strategize. They know, especially for the top teams, they know when they're gonna rest some of their key players and this and that, and they probably look at their schedule and say, okay, well, this is a team that I frankly I know I can beat even if I rest my top player, but then not assuming, never assuming that, okay, we're not going to play a full season. But there are certain teams, and I think one of them, I think when you look at the projections that ESPN has, they have like this index, win index, because they look at, strength of schedule. And I think, for example, it was Memphis, who I think is the eighth seed right now. They were supposed to have a very, very difficult last like 20 games. And the projection was that they weren't going to make the playoffs because their schedule was just loaded with teams over 500. And a team like New Orleans, their schedule, I think, was supposed to be really easy. So I think actually they were projected to be the 8th seed, and I think Memphis was supposed to drop down to 9, maybe even 10. And even like a team like Portland, right? They're supposed to get like 2 or 3 of their starters back for the back end. And now they're not, you know, and who knows what could have happened with them. So, I mean, it's obviously, it's not going to be a perfect situation if they come back, but that really, you know, could impact teams that, you know, like, wow, I would have never even made the playoffs. And now you're in the playoffs. If we just stop right now and say, okay, the season ends, we're just going to the playoffs from this point on.
I don't think it's an issue of fairness, George. I mean, you know, nothing in this season is about fairness anymore. It's just trying to get something out there in light of the situation we're in. I mean,
no, I know. You're not going to have a perfect situation, but
I agree. Obviously, it's not going to be perfect, and
yeah.
you can make the case of. But I mean, think of the opportunity if it's safe, of course, to return to play. The distraction and the joy that would bring. You know, those of us that enjoy sports, that for those couple hours you can, you know, get into that world and just enjoy that for even for that brief moment in time. I think it would be so helpful.
Well, I think it's good for our country because we're such a sports related country. I mean, so many things revolve around sports. And just think right now is a time that it's like the apex where all three sports, you know, are in the discussion generally, right? You'd be having right now that you come into the end of the regular season, you would. In the NBA, you'd be talking about the draft now for the NFL, and baseball would just be starting out.
Yeah.
And you got
nothing. The Masters for golf should be on right now.
The Masters would be on right now. Yeah.
I mean, they canceled Wimbledon. I think that hadn't happened since World War II.
Hey, and don't forget the MLS. I mean, the MLS is in full swing, baby. Soccer.
Oh, man, you're right. How could anyone forget that?
I mean, come on. You guys, all of my LA Galaxy fans and Chicharito. Chicharito, not Chaparrito, Chicharito.
I was thinking Chaparrito. Translate that for the listeners.
It means little chicharo.
remember yesterday when you're
Don't bring it up.
Is that it?
Okay, Robert, I was teaching the huddle guys yesterday, and
was that Magenta again? Typo?
No, that was mine. I had a PowerPoint, so I shared my screen, and I had a PowerPoint up with my teaching notes, and I said, okay, let's look at these scripture passages, and then I pointed them to the book of Ezekiel.
Well, that's not what it said.
I spelled Ezekiel wrong.
It said Ezekiel.
I put Ezekiel. I put
E. Oh, you use a Q?
Yes, Ezekiel.
Oh, Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. That's how you spell
it. Okay. Is that Ezekiel in Spanish?
In my defense, that is how you spell it in Spanish.
Oh.
But I don't know why I put it in Spanish.
and the Gospel of Juan.
Ay, ay, ay. Hey, Robert, what's happening in the world of Christian Assembly? Lots going on, right?
Man, today was the grocery drive, right? I mean,
today is the grocery drive, even tonight. By the time guys hear this, they probably won't be able to participate in it, but tell us what that was anyway.
Yeah, it was a chance for us to bring groceries, to stock up on a pantry program that we're starting at Christian Assembly, so that tomorrow those who might want or need groceries can swing by Christian Assembly and pick up a bag of groceries, that and prayer.
Yeah, so let's be clear, because we're going to post this tonight, so maybe people will hear it on Friday, April 3rd. So Friday, April 3rd, from 5 to 7 p.m., people can drive through our parking lots and pick up groceries, right?
Right, that's right. Those who are in need of groceries, that's something that we're making available for our Christian Assembly family. And today, actually, are those who want to donate and be part of that program. But tomorrow's for those who want to avail of the program.
And when can they drop off to donate? There's two times, right?
Well, it's today, Thursday. Guys are not going to hear this on Thursday.
No, but so they know for.
Well, if we do it again, we will send out another email. But it'll be the same format as today, which was from 9 to 11 a.m. and then again at 5 to 7 p.m. Okay. People can drop off complete bags of groceries.
Curbside drop off.
Curbside. So we would just, you know, we'll get it out of your trunk, and you guys don't even have to get out of your car.
Right.
But same on Friday, April 3rd, you can go pick up said bag of grocery. Another exciting thing, if for those folks that may need this kind of support, is the CA Council has recently approved a significant portion of our general giving to go towards a benevolence fund. Robert, tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's if you guys, again, it's towards supplies, groceries. We are able to give out gift cards up to $200 per person. So if your family is in need of just a helping hand to pick up supplies out of grocery stores, come around to CA. There's an application online, and we'll make sure to get a gift card out to you guys.
But Robert, it's if you so if you have a family of four, is it $200 or is it $200 per person?
It's per person right now. So if it's a family of four, you can get $800 one time. Mm-hmm. It's a big boost for you to just be able to pick up the groceries and supplies you might need to stock up on the things that you need.
So our CA Council has approved a fund of up to $250,000 to go towards that efforts. And this is all coming out of the generosity of our community. And so guys, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, how can I support this effort? Just keep giving to the CA general offering as you do. And, you know, even above and beyond your regular tithe, your offerings, because we're allocating these funds to go to help and serve families that are in need. Let me tell you something about the men of CA though. A lot of the guys, when we canceled the retreat, emailed me right away and they said, could my retreat funds not be reimbursed to me and go towards something? So what I did is everyone that sent me an email like that, I then took those funds and put them as a part of this fund, this benevolence fund that we've created. So moved them over into that fund. So they're not part of men's ministry budget, but they're moving into the general offering so that those retreat funds that you had paid, that guys that said, I don't want to get refunded, went straight to those efforts and are helping families in need.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So thanks guys, that the guys that had the heart to do that. And just amazing, amazing collection of people and men that we have as part of this church. A couple other things that I want to highlight, or Robert, you can highlight, but what's happening on April 10th, which is Good Friday, by the way.
Well, you have still, you're, aren't you doing this men's lunchtime prayer via Zoom?
Correct. Yes, correct.
Is this weekly, Marvin, or is this?
It's going to be every other week, every other Friday. And so our next time we'll gather will be Friday, April 10th at noon. And it's just a time to gather and pray via Zoom. We had, I think, 45 guys or so on their last call, which is a lot of fun just to see a bunch of smiley faces. So guys, join us. We'll post the link on Facebook. And then we're doing one more thing as far as the breakouts.
The breakouts. George, are you doing a breakout? Because we're starting breakout sessions starting in April 20 in lieu of our, this is the breakout sessions you'd probably hear during our men's retreat. Because we have canceled the men's retreat, we are now doing it via Zoom. So,
yeah. Via. George is one of our presenters. What are you presenting on, George?
Trusting God and just, you know, when we trust God, you know, we see the fruits of that. But it shouldn't be a time that when things are going well in our lives, either and or, you know, financially, economically, we're in a good place, relationally, we're in a good place. That's when we feel comfortable about trusting God, right? Things are going well and things are strong. But if you're in a season like many, many are right now, where you have doubts and you have some challenges and, you know, maybe financially or relationally, is that the point that I now start doubting God and stop trusting him and stop being generous and putting him first in my life? That's a true test of faith, right? It's not when things are good. It's when things aren't as good, really, when our faith is demonstrated.
Well, that's an excellent segue for what we're going to talk about for the last part of the podcast today. Is we just want to talk about how to maintain faith and trust in God when we are suffering economic loss. I know, I'm sure you guys know people that have gotten wages cut, hours cut, layoffs are happening, furloughs are happening. People that work in service industries, restaurants and retail establishments obviously are not able to complete their hours. Organizations, nonprofits are taking a hit, they're hurting. so much, I mean, so much of our economy is driven by all of these things. And so, you know, all this taking a hit, stock market. I mean, I took a peek at my, my retirement accounts last night and I almost cried. But so George, I know you have some thoughts for us and you want to talk to the men about this. You know, give us some hope. Let us know what scripture says and how we can prepare ourselves for these downturns.
Well, yeah, I wanted to talk, I guess, just kind of some practical things and just answer some, you know, some questions that I thought would be pertinent to people. But one thing even before I get there is to kind of ask ourselves, all of us, is just, it's an overriding question, but where does my hope lie? Where do I put my trust and faith? Is it in my ability to earn money? Is it in the stuff that I've accumulated over the years? Is it my desires to have more stuff? Is that where my hope lies? Or is it in, you know, the God of this universe who created me, but even more than that, who loves me beyond measure and really believe the fact that he's going to provide for me? Because not only does he promise that, he says, I will provide for all of your needs, and never so provide for all your wants, but always for our needs. But in addition to that, if you look back on your life and just take some time to remember how God has been just faithful throughout the years in so many ways, and things we even take for granted. Like, we can complain about these simple things. Man, I'm stuck at home. Okay, you have a home, right? You have a home. You have a roof over your head, but you're complaining that I can't go out and do all these things. Yeah, but you have a roof over your head. You have a family to spend time with. You have some meals. Oh, I can't go to a restaurant. I can't go to a restaurant. Boy, that, you know, in many parts of the world, that's a real luxury. So it's how you look at perspective and how you're trusting that God is first in my life, not these other things. So there's a saying, I think I've said it a couple of weeks ago, Marvin, be reminded of stories over stuff, right? Yeah. It's not how much I accumulate. It's what am I doing with what God has entrusted me? You know, am I impacting lives, or am I just buying things or using my money for, you know, material possessions? So I think it's a good check figure. We talked about this actually off air, you and I, Marvin, I think probably Robert as well, is, you know, before this pandemic hit, you know, the market was, you know, an all-time high. And if at that point you're feeling good, and that's when you're generous, and that's when you're giving in all aspects of your life, and that's when you feel good and I'm trusting God, but now you've done a 180 because this pandemic has come. Well, really, was your hope in Jesus Christ? Was God really first in your life, or was he first because it was convenient and things were in a good place? So if now you're panicked and anxious and things like that, well, what's really changed? Has God changed? Well, no, he doesn't change. We know that. So if it's us that's changing, is it, you know, ask yourself, have I changed my view of God? When 5-6 weeks ago, I thought, you know, I never put God in a box, and I thought, man, he can do anything. But now I'm worried, I'm anxious, and now maybe he can't do those things. Well, don't let your faith be moved just by your circumstances, right? Mm-hmm. It should be steady. And if God is first in your life, then that order should not change. So, so here are the couple kind of practical things that I thought, because many, many people may be asking the question, tell me about these stimulus checks, right? Because I think probably a vast percentage of people that attend CA will be getting these stimulus checks, because the criteria is, if you're an individual making less than $75,000, your adjusted gross income, that's a technical term, your tax return, or if you file jointly and it's $150,000, then you are, you're subject to get this stimulus check, which is $1,200 per person, your household, plus $500 per child, and a child is 17 or under. And the way the government is going to do that, if you file your 2019 tax return, they're going to look at those numbers. And if you didn't file, wow, look at those guns. And Marvin, as I'm trying to speak, Marvin has his hands on his head, and he's just showing me flexing those guns. Man, those like 18 inches?
12 and a half, baby, 12 and a half.
Sorry, I digress. So if you've used your 2019, filed your 2019 tax return, they'll use that information. If you have not filed, then you don't have to do anything. They'll just use the 2018 information. They're saying that they'll probably start sending the checks about 3 weeks from now. That's probably when they'll start cutting the checks. And if it's in the form of a refund, refunds in the past have generally taken 6 to 8 weeks. It's much faster when you file your tax return. If you have your bank information and it just electronically gets your bank, then that would speed up the process. But I think that's a significant amount. So it's a family of four, that's $3,900, right? Or no, family of five.
Family of five.
It's $3,400 for a family of four. So it's a one-time check, but you know that should obviously be impactful, at least for the time being. So then, to me, then the next question would be, like, what do I do with that check?
Yeah.
Right. And again, it depends on what your circumstances are. If you don't need it, if you're one of those blessed ones that is not counting on that stimulus check to put food on the table, and it's really in excess right now, then I would count it, first of all, as a blessing. But secondly, it's probably a good time if you don't have what I call a rainy day fund. That's where I would put that money, because this is not the time to lecture people. There'll be another time for that. But as we're seeing right now, this situation, a lot of people are in crisis mode because, as most of the country is, we live paycheck to paycheck, and we haven't put money away for emergencies. And that's mm-hmm. why we talk about having an emergency fund, having another fund for a rainy day, which is usually at least 3 months of living expenses, which is shelter, food, utilities, transportation, just kind of those basics. You should have at least 3 months of that. And again, the vast majority of people don't even have a couple of thousand dollars put away in the bank for an emergency. Yeah. Yeah. And that shows you, in a time like this, if you had that, then you wouldn't be panicked, because you've said, okay, throughout the years, I've put this money away for exactly a situation like this. If God forbid I've lost my job, or you know, I have a medical condition, or I have a disability and I just can't work. Well, I've put these funds aside for that. So if you're one of the individuals that, or a family that doesn't need this money, and you're in a, you know, kind of a good place, then I would certainly shore up your emergency mm-hmm. fund. I would frankly just save that money. So if you're not in that situation, and you're one of the individuals that's just really frankly struggling right now, and I, you know, we'll pray for you. And you know, this is not a time to run away from God, but run towards Him. Here's some of the things that I wrote, or I thought, kind of what to do. If you're participating and you're still working, I would stop your 401k. Stop contributing your 401k. If you're in dire need of cash, then stop putting that money away, because you're just going to need the cash. And hopefully this is just temporary. If you have a challenge meeting your housing obligation, your rent or your mortgage, if you have a mortgage, and I would call the lender, there's several banks, and there's over 200 banks in California, and some of the large ones like Wells Fargo and Citibank, and I think JP Morgan Chase, they've put kind of a moratorium on paying your mortgage, where they're not placing a penalty on that. So the first thing I'll do is call your lender and just tell them the situation that you're at and see what they can do. And if you're a renter, then I think California is one of the states that is allowing you, they're not allowing landlords to kick you out. I think that's for a certain period of time. I think it's either three to 6 months that you can be late on your rent. But just know that if you're in that situation, it doesn't mean that it's a rent relief. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pay it, and you should pay it. I mean, that's an obligation, because a lot of people think, well, what a great thing. I don't have to pay the landlord, and the landlord, doesn't need the money. And it just, you know, for those of you that hopefully don't think like that, when one person gains, sometimes there's another side that we don't think of. They get hurt just as much, because you can have the property owners, they rely on that income.
Of course.
So the people that aren't paying rent or deferring rent, then the landlords, the property owners, that means that's not income they're getting. And then they may have to let go of some staff, because they're paying people to manage the properties and take care of the property. So if money isn't coming for them, it's not as simple as, well, I can't afford it, I'm just not going to pay rent. Okay, well, the person that you're not paying rent to, that means they're not getting income. And they may have to let go of people. So just, please keep that in mind. So that's with the rent. So you can defer that, but not just think that you don't have to come up with it. So the hope is that it's only temporary, but you will have to pay it. Utility companies are offering relief, so contact them if you're struggling with making ends meet on paying your utilities or cable, those kind of things. Call them. Mm-hmm. Student loans. If you have student loans. Many, I think it's passed a law, I think you have a 6-month reprieve where they're not accruing interest on those payments. But again, all these reprieves are just deferrals. So again, it doesn't make the payment go away. So if you're deferring rent, at some point you have to come up with it. If you're deferring your mortgage payment, at some point you have to come up with it. If you're deferring your student loan, I mean, all these, they don't go away. So right. Almost look at it.
George, when you say defer, that does that mean that you're adding to your balance?
No, for like student loans, they're not accruing interest, so the balance is just in essence frozen. You know, if you owe $10,000, well, it's still $10,000. You haven't made any payments on it, but they're not adding interest to it.
For mortgage, for example, wouldn't that add to your balance then?
No. Mortgage is always it's just an amount. It's locked in. It doesn't accrue interest. It's just there's a penalty if you don't pay it, but that amount is it doesn't change. It doesn't go up.
But let's say I'm in a situation where I can't make that payment, my student loan payment, for 60 days, and then July 1 comes around and I'm making my July payment, but now I have to make 2 months worth of payment or 3 months worth of payment, so I have to factor that in to when and if I go back to work or I'm able to make that payment, right?
I think you'll have to look at your budget, and again, not take that. And that's always kind of the problem with, or the scary part about debt is a lot of people, when they use a credit card, you just are forgetting that at some point I have to pay this, right? I'm getting the benefit of something now and I'll pay for it later. But if you don't have the money to pay for it now, that poses a problem because you still have to pay it later. And then there's a cost with that. Yeah. And the cost is interest. So even though on mortgages, they're waiving the penalties in many instances, even though utility companies are offering relief and maybe voiding penalties for late payment, even though student loans are not accruing interest and even credit card companies are doing some of those things, that doesn't mean that the amount, the principal amount, has gotten any smaller. You still have to make that payment.
Yeah.
And in some cases, it'll grow because, for example, if you're not going to pay rent and your landlord is, okay, you're late 2 or 3 months, it doesn't mean you have to make those payments.
Right.
You just have a bigger amount that you owe. So again, make sure that you're keeping a running tab of the amounts that you're deferring, because those amounts are going to come due at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And things will turn. Another thing, I was thinking about it, because since there are going to be some expenses that actually have decreased just because of our situation. Like, just think about, like, I've looked at my gasoline bill. It's almost nil, because I'm not driving anywhere. If I drive, it's really close, because we're not driving to work every day or driving to go out, things like that. So redirect those expenses. So if your gasoline expense, if you budget whatever that amount is, my guess is probably cut by a significant amount.
Yeah.
We'll take that money towards, you know, something else. For example, if you have a, you know, part of your budget, you have, you know, entertainment and you go out, well, chances are your entertainment is probably not as high because you're not going out as much. You're not doing these things, vacation, all those kind of things. So I would take the time to redirect those expenses, redo your budget if you have one. If you don't, you should have a budget and try to apply those funds to some of these other expenses.
On that note, George, in this season, are you still doing individual financial counseling?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing it. I'm doing it via Zoom. It's funny because, you know, I always joke that most technology challenged of all, probably our whole staff.
As you are.
Yesterday, I had such a massive headache because I'm just not used to staring at the computer for like hours at a time. Yeah. And yesterday when it was, you know, wrapped up.
Especially when it's not numbers and it's not a ticker symbol.
So I told Lisa, I said, oh, I have a throbbing headache because I had a meeting after meeting. I had literally like three meetings back to back. So I was like on the computer for like 3.5 hours nonstop. And then I had a break. And then, you know, Marv and I were on the computer for another hour and a half last night at 7. It's just,
yeah.
But yes, to answer your question, I'm definitely.
So how can someone get a hold of you to schedule that?
Yeah, email me at my email is jorgef@cachurch.com and just set up an appointment. I'll have my assistant coordinate.
So guys, if you have any questions about anything, I mean, you know, if you're unemployed or if you're concerned about your retirement and what you should do or anything that George said, even during this time, or even just to pray. The awesome thing that, about George is, he's not just a numbers guy. He's more importantly a pastor and can pray with you and give you some scripturally based principles for how to set up your finances and begin trusting the Lord even during difficult moments. And so we don't want to minimize that a lot of you guys financially are hurting. But we trust God above all. And it's, like George said, easy to say that when the economy is great. But we want to say that when it isn't also. And we do that not only in word, but in action. And one of the best ways that we do that in action is how we manage those resources that have been entrusted to us. So thanks for guiding us in that time, George.
I have one more thing.
Of course. Yep.
There's just like two little quick things, but one was on investing. I found this to be helpful. Just don't let your balances influence your investment decisions. So like Mark, for example, you said you looked at your balance. You're like, you cringed yesterday. Well, that shouldn't influence, you know, what you're going to do right now, just because you're looking at it as just a point in time. So because it's such a volatile period, that really shouldn't have a long-term effect on what's going to happen. Just like the opposite.
I had to remind myself, I'm 42. You know, thankfully I'm not in a season where I need to retire in the next whatever. And
many
so
years away.
Yeah.
But by the same token, think about, you know, 5-6 weeks ago, it was probably an all-time high. Yep. You weren't gonna do anything differently there. You're not gonna pull the money out.
Sure.
So, you know, it works both ways. So don't panic.
George, for those who can invest, what do you do? Is this the bottom?
Oh, I could never, I think it would be inappropriate for me to even comment whether it's a bottom, but I just think if you're a long-term investor, continue investing, because my thought is when, I think it's Warren Buffett, when people are greedy, that's when you want to sell. And when people are scared, that's when you want to buy. So I'd rather buy now when the prices are, in essence, at a discount, because everything's down about 25-30%. So that's what I'm doing, and that's what I recommend if you're a long-term investor. So does that mean that it's not going to be lower than it is today? Well, it can be, but we don't look and say, you know, well, if I would have waited, it would have, you know, I could have bought it, you know, next week at a cheaper price. Well, that's Monday morning quarterback, right? Because what if next week? What if today is the bottom? We no one knows that. But let's say today is the bottom and you're waiting till next week, then you just missed out and you're gonna be buying at higher prices. So just invest, if you know what you're doing, invest in companies that you like and have researched, and you know, buy at a discount.
But generally speaking, George, because you and I and Marvin, we've never seen anything like this that's affected the world globally like this. And just the stock markets in all of the countries are down, right? So I'm just saying that you don't see any kind of maybe stock market closing, just to suspend trading, just, no. I don't know.
I really, talking worry, about, really don't worry about that stuff. I really don't. You know, I'm older than all you guys. I mean, I'm 47, so.
Plus 20.
So I'm 57, and my hope is you know, I don't retire for another, you know, at least, you know, 15 years or so. But the thought is that, do I believe, this is a central question. Do I believe that the value in my investments will be higher 15 years from now than it is today? And for me, there'd be no reason to think that it wouldn't. So if that's my perspective, then why would I even be anxious about what's happening right now?
Good point.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we got to wrap this thing up here. Thank you for listening. We're trying to get to you every week. Appreciate your time. It sounds like George fixed his Wi-Fi connection, so hopefully you'll be able to hear him.
But you didn't get to hear my phone.
Thanks for listening. Over the next couple of weeks, we're excited. We have a couple of guests coming on. Ralph next Thursday talking about marriage in crisis. And the week after that, Jacob Park talking about anxiety and stress. Did you guys know that Jacob, as well as being a talented musician, is also a marriage and family therapist?
Yeah.
And so he's going to give us some tips.
Did you know that he has his undergraduate degree is in kinesiology?
I did not know that, but we can ask him in a couple of weeks. Yeah, so, guys, we
thank the muscle maven. You can do that flexing and ask him what does that do for my body?
I will do that. We thank you for listening, guys. Stay tuned for another exciting edition next week of the Men's Ministry Roundtable Podcast. Thank you for listening today.
Right on.